You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to comedian Doc Willis. My favorite part of his interview was talking about him growing up on the streets of Detroit, as well as his old arsenal of guns from his past. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time, comedian, and you've seen him on Bad Friends lately, Doc Willis.
What up, fam?
What's up, player?
Hell yeah.
Oh, it's about time you
Man,
you,
I had to fucking come. On. Yeah, I was like, feeling kind of left out, but now I'm fucking
No, you Steve, haven't been left out.
Fantastic.
You're getting some good shine, finally, well-deserved.
Hey, man, you know.
You know what I mean? Because I've known you when I was doing open mics at Marty's. Remember, shout out to Marty.
You still go to Marty's?
No. We're talking to the camera.
Oh, we're talking. Oh, no. Marty's, my bad. I'm all fucked up. Okay.
We're talking to the camera.
There it is. Okay.
So shout out to explain to them what Marty's was.
Marty's is pretty much a hellhole. It's It's where everybody go, like, any open mic, you know. And the greatest thing about Marty's was it was – one of the open mics here in California that allowed you to be you. Mm. Like, you didn't feel like you had to perform for a talent coordinator to get past. You just was in there saying the craziest stuff. Some people say some racist shit, you know, you just go, okay, he's working it out. You know how it is. But it's one of those things where, like, but then it had this downside because it had a lot of crazy people that would come there too. Remember that shit?
Oh, they would hang out. I just remember, you forgot, man. You'd have to pay him money.
Yeah.
So you pay $45.
Remember that?
He would ignore it. He'd play the keyboard and put the headphones on.
Yeah.
And usually there was no audience. It was like, if one of your comedian homies was there, he'd watch your set. But for the most part, you pay $5. When you got on, remember the side panel door?
Yeah, yeah.
The lounge area? People would be drinking 40s and just smoking blunts.
Yeah.
Just doing their thing. And you're basically performing in front of yourself.
It was like, but for some reason, you would be addicted to this place. It's the weirdest. I love going there.
Because Ralph's is right there.
Ralph's, yeah.
You know what I mean? They had the mama's
get that little pizza.
Slice of pizza.
That brings a little bit of tears.
I made a fool out of myself one night.
Don't worry.
In front of Damon Wayans.
Oh, because, yeah, he used to pop in there, too. That's what's crazy about that, Mike.
I was doing my thing.
Damon Wayans Jr. or his father?
Damon. Damon.
Yeah.
OG Damon. Yeah. Damon. My favorite, Wayans. Okay. I was doing my cowboy. You know, back then, remember I did my cowboy rap?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did my cowboy rap.
You retired it, right?
Yeah. It's getting real up here. Oh, my God.
My bad. I'm my asshole.
Yeah,
hey, y'all know.
And I just noticed, you know, I recognize his face. He goes to Marty. It's just him and Marty in the room watching me. It's like, and then I just, my mind starts spinning, and I go, fuck. And then I start sweating, and then they weren't even paying attention to me. Yeah, it's like as if I was not even there.
That's normal.
Yeah.
That's
but
normal.
Damon, Damon's, people forget, Damon is a heavy hitter. Like, heavy, heavy.
People don't,
really funny.
If you're younger, you only probably caught his last bit of his movie career.
No,
right?
I'm talking about comedy. He made me cry. I remember seeing him in the OR back in the day. Made me cry.
But I'm talking about like the people who don't know his stand up like that.
Because
he was more in the movies and all that. Yeah. But I'm talking about the stand up part. A lot of people didn't see. Man, Damon's, man, he's one of the
best
out there, man. I love Damon.
Of all time, in my opinion. Like, he's one of the best, in my opinion.
You have to group him. That whole family is just like pure
Sean,
talent. Like we don't have that in my family. It's shit. Mm.
Let's get into your trajectory, man. So, what people don't know about you, go ahead. You grew up like you have some street history.
Yeah. I talk about it quite a bit on a few podcasts. Uh-huh. Teenager out on the streets, hanging with hitmen and killers. You know what I'm saying? Just being a natural teenager. Just
but like hey. What, on the streets of what? What
of
city?
Detroit.
Of Detroit.
Yeah, grew up in Detroit, and a lot of people. That's what's funny is like your brother was totally clueless to like I had a gang life as a teenager and
been
a juvenile. I got arrested for shootings, all kind of crazy stuff.
He doesn't know that at all.
No. Oh, he don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I kind of do just because I had homies who had friends that were into that.
Right.
You know, but they got into music and stuff instead. And so I'm like, okay, I know that exists.
Yeah.
But you got recruited, didn't you?
No. I never wanted to. Man, that's the last thing. Most street dudes, like real street dudes, they never want to be gangsters.
It just happens?
Nah, yeah. It's like one of those things where, like, you need money and nobody's like, my mother always said this. She said, if I was around, you wouldn't have ever got entangled into that life because she was working full time, going to school full time. Mm-hmm. And then we were pretty much struggling, right? And then, you know, you heard the story of my father being on crack and all that.
No, I haven't.
When you had the...
No.
Oh, you don't know nothing about...
No.
Damn, okay. I
deal. Wasn't on Bad Friends. You're on Bad Friends more than I am. I'm on once every 2 years.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm happy, by the way, that they're adding you to the their cast there.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun, man.
So shout out to Andrew, my brother, for looking out for my man here, because it's about time that you got some shine. That's why I wanted you to be on here, because I'm like, I got to get Doc.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I appreciate it.
So going back to your pops?
But pops, well, you know, he was... He was actually a guy. Him and my mother were high school sweethearts. Captain of the basketball team, and she was like, I think, captain of the cheerleading team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They got hooked up when she was 17, just graduating from school. She got pregnant with my goofy ass. And then she had me. Mm-hmm. And then life spiraled a little bit out of control for her and him because he lost his job. He started messing with the streets. And then she's like, you need to get yourself together. I'm out. So they separated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then they got back together when I was like 10, and then they moved me back in, and me not knowing until later that he actually was moving in with us because she was trying to help him because he was on crack at that point.
Damn.
Yeah. So
was he slinging it or was he just smoking it?
He was selling.
So he was doing both.
He got that way. I believe because his brother died of pneumonia in his house.
Because it wasn't crack related though. That he just got.
Nah,
sick.
He just was probably high because he was on heroin and crack too.
Oh, so heroin as well.
Yeah, he was on heroin. Not my father. My father was on crack.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so
he
was a little bougie.
He didn't drink. He just smoked crack. He didn't drink.
Yeah, he drank. Hey, they drink. You know, everybody drink. You know,
so
what
they
I'm
be
saying?
Drinking beers in Detroit. Yeah, they just that's nothing. Just drinking beers.
Did they drink beer?
Smoking
what the
crack.
You think it's?
Yeah, I
you
think they did in Detroit. I don't
you think
know.
Beer
I'm
is just in California.
I'm learning from you, Doc.
Where you from, San Diego?
Yeah. I look up to you, man.
Yeah, man.
But so he was smart. And then continue.
So he moved in. Things got bad to the point where because we were doing okay, and then like all of a sudden it was like gas get cut off. Let me tell you how bad it was. We had to wash our clothes, wash our dishes in the same pot because the water pipes froze. We didn't have no water. So we used to steal the water from next door.
Wow.
I used to go over there and turn on the water. My father, he used to be like, yeah, let's get some water. I know they was like, God damn, why is our bill $1,000?
So you guys utilize the water for different purposes.
Yeah,
cooking,
yeah.
Washing.
We used to save it when we used to buy jugs of water, like damn. Big gallons, and we used to have to like wash up, wash our clothes, and wash dishes out of this same big green pot, and we put it on a kerosene heater to make that for hot water,
damn.
And that's how we would cook our food. And then we bought it. She got a hot plate and stuff like that. And it was just terrible.
I've had hot plates. Yeah.
It was terrible, man. It's so like, my mom wasn't around to like show me how to get a job as a kid. So you imagine 11, 12 years old, I had holes in my shoes, and I was like, fuck, man,
and,
I got to, you know what I'm saying? I gotta,
kids clown, but when they're that early, yeah, kids clown, right?
Yeah, crack jokes on you all day.
If you don't have Jordans, they'll clown on you.
Yeah, right? Man, and like, I used to be like the wild, loud, fun type of kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I was seeing the young kids in my neighborhood, you know, you're talking about 10, 12, 11, you know, they had on every pair of new Jordans, I was like, where the fuck? I'm like, I know your mama, she ain't got that much money. What you doing? Like, hey, man, this is what we doing. I was like, what? Like, and then they showed me the money out their pocket because that was in the 80s when crack first started, right at when it was hot, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck, bro. Like, you can make something, man, let me tell you.
That was the Ronald Reagan
there
era?
Were, yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were... On my corner alone, every day, at least 15 to 20 of us.
Doing what?
Selling crack. That's how much money we was making. And
so
I'm telling you, like, within an hour, I would make 500.
So you guys would have your own block and everything? Like, one guy at one block? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it was, man, listen, man. Like, people don't even understand how crazy booming. Like, when you watch New Jack City, how they had that one apartment building and all them people was coming in there.
Oh,
so just imagine
that
without the apartment building on the streets in one area.
So that like was that movie was with Wesley Snipes, right?
Yeah.
So that was a good movie, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was like, man, like, you
so
talking.
It was like that.
I was making so much that my drug dealers was like, because I was a kid and I was like, just selling for other people at that point. Till my daddy taught me how to do that. He actually taught me how to be
right,
the street
right,
dude.
Right.
And then also other dudes in the gang. But I sold drugs at one point for like 9 different drug dealers at once. And I was fucking up, bro. I'm lucky to be alive. Like one time I called a drug dealer. I was like, hey, come pick up your money right quick. Then another one showed up and he was like, hey, you got anything for me? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just give him this because I can sell this like this. And then I give him this, and then the other guy showed up, and I'm like, fuck. And then I was like, bruh, I ain't got it. And he go, what the fuck? I drove all the way fucking here. I should fucking, you know, I said, easy. I'll get you in about, give me 15 minutes. That's how fast it was moving on the, like, the first and the 15th of the month. Shit.
So you had to.
You can buy a whole goddamn couch, I'm talking about.
So you had to make do and learn, I mean, just to hustle on the streets. When did
this how I started off, though. Mm-hmm. I started off getting paid $50 a day watching out for the police. So they were
you
like,
mentioned that.
Yeah, I probably
so
did.
Were there noises or sounds you would make? Like
nah,
bird
just,
sounds?
Just yell out 5-0. But here's the thing. Like, I didn't really need to because I was like, he just paying me for nothing. Because it was like you could see the police before they come. And you just boom. Because it was like vacant houses and fields. And like where we sold dope at, you could see when they come up. They couldn't come through the alley except, you know what I mean? By the time they jump out on the alley, you gone. They rarely ever caught us. You know what I'm saying?
It's just rugged. The weather in itself is rugged in those states. It's gray. It's cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Abandoned buildings and houses and shit like that.
Nah, but, you know, we had spots. That's what they call. You ever heard what they call trap houses? That's back then it was called spots. So you
so
got
explain,
trap houses.
Explain. Let me write. I think it should be taking notes.
What, you explain, about to open up a trap house? This guy? Is he about to? Hey, you better watch this guy.
I'm from the cold streets of Poway, so this Poway kid needs to learn. Yeah, I was raised around mostly white people in the wrestling team. So a trap house.
Wrestling team. Okay.
That's
good.
Trap houses were like, they're the spots back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where squatters live? Like homeless people would just live
hell
in there?
Because
there were squatters. That live next door here.
Yeah, but that's a squatting house. You're talking about this is a trap house, so it's nothing.
So what's the difference between a squatting house and a trap house?
A trap house is a house that's being rented out or bought cash for when you're selling drugs.
So you're paying rent.
Yeah.
But then that place is
most of the time it's a crackhead's house.
Okay. Oh,
because
really?
You know the problem is people see New Jack City and they just think all crackheads is like Pookie. It's like, nah, they regular working class people. They like they able to clock in and out. It's just like my father. Nobody knew he was on crack really, except us in the hood and me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like when he all they would do is they go straight to work. That's what they think, man. I'm work all week, and then they come straight to you after work with their check. Like, man, I got $400-$500 to spare. You're like, all right, that's what I'm talking about.
So in a trap house, is it a party spot as well? People go there, drink, and just party all night? Or is it used for business?
No, it's mostly business. Well, us as drug dudes, we had, like, because you don't want to draw too much attention to a trap house. Trap houses is like, you trick with crackheads, stuff like that. You know what tricking is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. You got a little bit of street knowledge.
I am no angel. I kind of know some terminology.
Own it. He owned it, y'all.
I'm walking the straight and narrow now, Doc, okay?
Yeah, man. So,
So there's tricking involved as far as surrounding these crack houses, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Because
it comes with the lifestyle, right?
Comes with the lifestyle. Yeah. You know, I'll give you some of them women, though. You're like, hell no. You know,
explain to the viewers. A lot of my viewers might not be familiar with this terminology. What is, explain what tricking is to the viewers.
For street cats, it's when a crackhead or a fiend offer sexual favors for a little bit of cash. It's not good, but that's the streets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So as a teenage kid, you getting it? Nothing? Okay. Why you giving? Why you leave me hanging, dog?
I thought you were telling a story. Oh no, I got you.
Yeah, man. So
all right, so we might have to edit that out, huh? The tricking part.
Nah.
Will YouTube demonetize it if we said tricking? You know what?
No. It's honest. It's not. Promoting it.
I'm not.
We're just talking about
tricking. So it's basically prostitution for drugs, or you're right.
Yep.
So they're tricking to get their drugs. So it's basically they're providing a service to get their drugs.
Yep.
That's honest, right?
Yep.
All right, I want to get into, because you have a long history with being at the Comedy Store. Can we talk about some of this stuff?
Yeah, talk about it.
When did you make your move from Detroit to Hollywood, and how'd you get into the Comedy Store and all? Because you spent mad years there paying dues. Go ahead, Doc.
I moved here in 2000, and with the idea of I wanted to, because I had actually started comedy in Detroit, but I didn't do it.
What, at open mics there, like at a bowling alley or something like that?
Yeah, and it was at a place called Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Okay.
There is where my first open mic occurred, and then the pay regulars there, when they saw me, and I actually took a class, and they saw me, and they told me to just get up and talk on the mic, and I just had everybody laughing.
Right.
And they were like, do you know what you can be? You gotta really go after this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but I was going through a depression because my father had killed himself and stuff like that. So I was going through all these different things in my head.
Right.
So when I was pursuing comedy, I was like going through a lot. Like I went and started going to church a lot. I started like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to stop smoking weed. Maybe not today, but someday I'm going to make it happen. It was like I was trying to like change everything. Mm-hmm. But it was just, that weed was rough, dude, you know. But it was crazy because at the same time, I didn't like smoking weed. But I liked it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I smoked weed for about 17, 18 years.
Man, it was.
I miss the head change. Because whenever I like blunts, I like rolling blunts or like, you know, it, the ritual of, you know what I mean? Rolling right. the blunt, getting the weed, breaking it up. And then I just zoned out too much on it.
You know what made me stop wanting to smoke weed? Well, help me. Two things. There was these killers I got into it with. And and so my boy Greg, rest in peace, Greg came to me. He was like, hey, man, he's like, when you got into it with them and you was walking down the street, one I heard one of them saying to the other guy, should I catch him in the alley and shoot him and shoot him? And then and the dude was like, nah, let him go. And he said, so watch your back, man. But I was so fucked up. But that stuck with me. And I was like, holy shit, man. You know what? I'm going to stop drinking. Because I used to drink like gin and juice and mm-hmm, get fucked up mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. blunts, wilding out. So I said, man, this is crazy. I got to fucking not. That's it. No more fucking gin. I'm going to still smoke my weed, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. No? Okay, yeah. But I was like, hey, man, I got to stop. So then what made me stop smoking weed was me on my father's side, that's what we do. Me and my cousins. We blunt up, get high. We, hey, man, fuck. We loud, bowling, movies if we
it's
make
good
it.
Times.
Yeah, good times, man. There's some good shit in
and
that,
it
man.
Chilled you out.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, we tried to.
And then, so going back to the comedy club, how did you, so.
Okay, we can go back to them.
Yeah, yeah. How did you. How did you make your transition from that club to L.A. to the Comedy Store?
I just moved.
You're like, I'm bouncing?
Yeah, I came here for a family reunion on my cousin's side. And then I said to myself, I wanted to come out here. I always was thinking about coming out here. I said, you know, I'm going to try to find a job. And then I found a couple of places hiring, and Montebello 4 was the one who kept calling me. Like, hey, man, why don't you come? We'll give you 40-something thousand a year, this and that. I say 40-something thousand, okay.
What is this? A company?
Montebello Ford.
What is that?
Ford. It's a Ford dealership. That's in Montebello, California.
Well, what does that have to do with, like?
I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, okay, Ford dealership.
Yeah.
Write that down. Go ahead.
So that's what I did.
When you first came here?
When I first came here.
Sold cars?
No, I worked in the parts department.
Okay.
Because I used to work for a dealership back in Detroit, too.
Gotcha. Okay,
so I just transferred that job.
I did not know that.
Okay, now you know.
Now I do.
Write that down, too.
keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
So now, I said to myself, okay, my stepdad's best friend lived in Santa Monica, him and his wife and kids.
Okay.
So he was like, hey, told his daughter, why don't you take them out? Show them Sunset, show them Hollywood, but much more. But they didn't know that. I already been through all that. I just wanted to see the Comedy Store, and then she drove me by the Comedy Store. I'm like, that's what Richard Pryor.
Yep.
I got to get up in that month. You know what I mean?
What year was this?
2000, when I first moved.
2000, okay, Comedy Store.
So then, I'm not sure if it was near the end of 2000 or very beginning of 2001. I think it was near the end or middle, like December, or November, something like that. I went and did an open mic.
On the Sundays?
Yep. And so, your brother was hosting.
Okay, explain to the viewers, because I don't know if they still do this. Explain to the listeners and viewers what the potluck was and what day it was and how they went about choosing the acts that went up. Go ahead.
So back then, they used to have open mic at the Comedy Store three nights a week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So how it worked is you come in the afternoon, and then they would have a lottery bucket at that time. And there would be 20 numbers and 20 blanks. So you had to draw, stick your hand in the bucket. Hopefully you get a ticket, and whatever number you got, that's the number you got to go up that night. So, and if Missy saw you, Missy Shore, which is Pauly Shore's mother, saw you.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Love you, Missy.
Yeah.
You would get the chance to, if she liked you, she would either make you an employee back then, which they had one called a non-pay regular, or they will make you a paid regular. Paid regulars get paid. Non-paid regulars were people who were ready but not ready yet to get into the paid position. So she would give them like 10 minutes in the belly room.
Mm-hmm.
And so employees, they would get to perform, and they allotted slots on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday after
the open
mic.
So they had three nights? I thought there was just one night.
No, it was three. One night, man, that happened in like 2016. That's why I left, because I was like, man, we losing our employee spots and everything. I'm out.
Oh, I thought it was so it would just happen on Sundays.
No.
It was
Sunday,
three
Monday,
nights?
And Tuesday.
Okay, so
you're talking about back then, though. Oh. Shoot, you lucky if you had two, three people in the audience when we went up. It was horrible.
So, because I remember, okay, so it was the raffle, right?
Yep.
So whoever got picked lottery style got up. Then I realized that after that segment was friends and family or something like that?
No, Tommy started that.
Tommy did that.
Yeah. So this is what it was. It was before, it was like, if Missy wasn't there, the host would just throw a couple people up that they wanted to throw up. And
so
then
it was
they
political.
Started
it was political.
Yeah, it was political. So, but when Missy was there, they couldn't do that. So only thing, when she was there, it was automatically, let me see my employees and let me see my paid regulars. So it was like that.
Mitzi was like that?
Yeah, so she would be like employees, or she would do showcases. So she would pop in, and everybody would be, man, like, phew.
All right, like describe to the viewers and listeners what a showcase is.
A showcase is just like anywhere else, where you audition in front of the talent coordinator, and if they like you, they move you forward, and you in the club. And at that time, it was Mitzi and, I believe, Duncan Trussell.
Shout out to Duncan.
Duncan, making it happen. Mm-hmm. Cool dude too, by the way.
Can we talk a little bit about when Tommy kind of came into that managerial role and how it changed the landscape of the store? Go ahead.
Well, when Tommy took over,
was he an honest guy? Tommy
was. Because
didn't he got fired for embezzling some dough, right?
Yeah.
But let's talk about before that happened.
Before that happened,
he had his favorites, didn't he?
Well, here's the thing about Tommy: where he actually.
So.
When it comes,
no, I like talking about this. No one really talks about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. He actually, like, was the closest thing to understanding how Missy did the lineup. But he inserted his own kind of way and style of doing it. Mm-hmm. So you seen what happened. It still was kind of successful, even with what he was doing. Like,
Who,
you know
Tommy?
What I mean? Yeah. Yeah. He got some good talent coming through there.
Because
the comedy
like-
store, if here's the thing about the comedy store. If you're a talent coordinator at the comedy store and you fail, you hear my stomach?
Dude, whatever I heard, dude, this is what I heard. You hold up, dude. I wanted to pretend, Doc.
Man, that mic better not have picked that up.
But I heard. This is what I heard. This is what I heard. Hold up. Pause. Wow.
Yeah, that's my whole stomach.
We need to get this guy a slice of pizza. We might have to cut this short. All right, but I love what you're doing, Doc. I got love for you. Let's keep going on this trajectory. I love what you're doing because I want this episode to be like a historical kind of people, like the inside scoop on what really happens or happened at the store.
Yeah.
So Tommy would have his favorites. He would, you know.
Yeah, but that's just like any other. Even Missy, she had her favorites. You know what I'm saying? So that's nothing. You know what I mean? But it kind of clashed because the older guys who were the favorites.
Who are the favorites older guys back then? Do you remember?
Your brother is one. Joey.
Diaz. Sebastian.
All of them guys. They all were like, seeing them, like just seeing Sebastian and Snowball and become this thing, and mm-hmm, Caparulo when he used to work the door.
Whatever happened to John Caparulo?
He's still doing comedy. Yeah,
but he ain't at the store, is he?
When I left, he was coming around still, but I don't know if he still go over there.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
So how does it work like now? Because it's probably, they have different management there now. You haven't been in there in a minute, right?
Yeah, but they sent me an invitation for the 50th anniversary,
right.
But I haven't accepted it.
But back then, would you say, how many slots on the OR lineup, how many slots are open that on any given night on the original room lineup? Would you say 15 to 20 comics or less?
I would say about... Yeah, about 15, 12 to 15.
12 to 15, right?
Yeah.
It starts at what, 9:15?
But
or
that's on the regular lineup. And then, well, see, now y'all see it different because back then, after about 12:30, she had what she called fallout spots. So these were comics that didn't get a spot and they can come and sign up.
Okay.
And
I mean,
if time permitted, they could work out. But what happened is when Tommy took over, he started letting Don Barris take that whole slot. So it cut off the development for a lot of different comics.
So would that become the Ding Dong Show or something?
Yeah, that's what the Ding Dong, that whole Ding Dong part, used to be comic after comic going up doing fallouts.
So he made it into some weird.
He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Tommy.
But it turned
into my Tommy.
All of them. Like, it turned into something.
Well, Don
weird.
Always was doing that. He just wasn't doing it as many days as he was getting at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He wasn't getting it like that. Missy didn't do that. Missy was more into doing the stand up and developing her comics at nighttime on the late night Fallout spots.
Right.
It went from that to he was getting most of the nights, and the only Fallout spots that comics ever really had was Sundays and Mondays before they took away Mondays.
So it was a tough racket for. Because you were a door guy, right, there?
Yeah.
You're a door. I mean, right. What did you witness weird nights where it was like, because I want to maybe at least bring up the ghosts again, because I know, we mentioned it on Scissor Bros, but.
Yeah, we did that.
My brother mentioned him and Johnny Sanchez way back in the day. They did a gig like in Riverside or somewhere, Fresno or something. They parked at the store, went there, and then they went to my brother's, back to his truck. In the parking lot of the Comedy Store, it was like 2-3 in the morning. My brother said he looked up at, where Mitzi's office used to be?
Yeah.
And my brother said he saw a guy wearing a fedora.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
I don't know, man. That's like this one person is a person that a lot of people see. Whoever it is.
So he has a suit on.
He has a suit on.
And a fedora.
Gray suit. Gray fedora, whatever.
Yeah.
Or black suit, whatever it is.
So other people have seen him.
Yeah. That's like the common one. I didn't see that. My ghost is, I don't know, for some reason I had like a Compton ghost or something like that. Like this dude was a thug and like what I saw.
Well, you saw something.
Yeah, 100%.
In the main room, original room, or belly room?
Belly room, because that's where most of the sightings are. What you said right now, what you said up in Missy Window, that's up in that office, belly room area, all that.
Oh, dude, you just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that's where all that
should
be popping off at. Most of it. Anywhere else people say stuff. Now, I'll tell you one time. That I didn't tell you.
Yeah. Please do.
I'm supposed to talk to the camera too when I.
Man, you could do.
I never
you
even
want.
Fucking.
You're family here, brother. You're family here. You could do whatever you want. You could fart.
Me,
whatever you want to do.
And Jimmy Pitt, comic that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Used to work there. Funny comedian. Shout out to Jimmy Buffalo. Do it, New York.
Shout out to Jimmy.
Yeah.
Continue, Doc.
So Jimmy was scared because of all the stories. So Jimmy comes to me. He's like, man, Doc, can you come with me to go shut off the lights in the main room? I was like, man, you're a goddamn coward. I'm not going there. I said, man, just go shut the fucking lights. He's like, no, man, you don't marinate,
well,
man.
What time was it?
This was probably about.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We shut off the lights in there and just do the OR show. So we usually shut them off right after the main room show. So it's like about 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:15, something like that. Not 12:30, about 1:15. So, but this was not on the weekend, because on the weekend when this Brian's name?
God, he was a white heavier set.
Yeah,
guy,
at
right?
The end, I'm Brian, just forgetting. Anyway, Brian.
Yeah.
It was just a regular one of those where they rent the room out, and then you know how they close down a little earlier.
It was
early
like, kind of like a bringer room or something.
Might have been whatever it was. Yeah. It was done.
Was it something Regis or Brian?
It'll come to me. Brian Holtzman.
Holtzman.
Yeah, y'all heard of that
name? Oh my God!
Yeah.
Brian.
Forgive
Holtzman.
Me, my dog.
Oh,
he probably like Doc.
I love Brian Holtzman.
Yeah, Brian Holtzman, man. That's my man. So, cool dude, too, man.
Yeah.
So, now, Jimmy goes, oh, come with me, man, please, man. I said, all right. So, I said, I'm still complaining. Like, man, you a coward walking with you like something, like I'm some kind of bodyguard. What I'm going to do?
Where were the lights located in the main room? Is it
there? In the main room, in the lobby where they sell the tickets.
Okay, so it's not in the, it's not there. Behind there's the stage in the green room. It's not
no.
by the cocaine no, table or no, whatever. No. So it's near
yeah,
the...
Yeah, it's a cocaine table, y'all. Yeah, yeah. Y'all like, what cocaine table? Yeah, it was. It's like I've a piano story. Shape table. It's cool looking, too. It's like, this is the coolest cocaine table you could ever...
It looks
like yeah, it's like a mirror. It's
so
a mirror.
So you're saying the lights are by the ticket booth before you go into the room. The ticket
right.
booth. Gotcha.
So it's like a little closet. You
gotcha,
go in there
gotcha.
And shut all lights
off. Yeah.
So we go through the main room, and we're walking. And so as you go, you know, when you go out to go into that lobby, mm-hmm. when you go and make a go around a little wall and wrap around,
yeah.
as we wrap around a little wall and we get ready to enter into the lobby, we hear gym shoes run across the floor. So he jumps and he screams and he says, Doc, you hear that shit? And he pushes me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I push him back. I was like, man, somebody said, who the fuck is in there? He goes, man, you saw. Ain't nobody fucking here, man. I'm out of here. And he took off running. And I go, fuck. I go, man, get the fuck. I said, somebody playing. And I ran. I jumped over the lobby in the main
yeah,
room counter.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran through the little hallway to go all the way back to the dressing room. I ran through there, ran through the dressing room, ran around the stage, ran, looked up the stairs, went up to the sound room. Nobody. And that's when my shit just started standing up on my neck, and I said, fuck, I'm out.
Now, when like, you said gym shoes,
yeah, it's like in a gym.
Like in a basketball gym.
Yeah.
Like sneakers.
Yeah, like sneakers, and you can hear a thud. Like a
and there's nobody else
no
but you two.
No fucking body there.
All right, I want to hear two more stories then. I love
yeah,
the ghost
man.
Stories.
No, man, I don't got no
keep
more than
coming.
That. That's
keep
enough right
coming,
there.
Dog.
Shit, I'm getting the creeps just
I
thinking
love
about
it.
That. Fuck him show up at my crib. Yeah, like, why are you telling him, dog?
I love it. You hear any, like, have you heard any crying, like weird sounds or nothing?
No, that stuff, I ain't never heard nothing like that.
You haven't seen any apparitions or, like, ghosts or shadow people?
I mean, the story I told you about the one ghost. That's it. On Sizzin' mm-hmm. Brothers.
Now, do other comedians, they must have had some experiences there. What about the podcasting room downstairs?
Yeah,
the
but here's the thing. I don't remember none of those stories. Because I thought they was lying.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, they talking. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you saw it. Okay.
Right.
Man, I'm
right.
telling you, the chairs were stacked in the ceiling. Yeah, who unstacked them then? You're a goddamn liar. Like, no, man. I'm, yeah, okay. It's just all of these weird stories. And then, like, and you know how everybody, like you say, cocaine table. Everybody was getting fucked up. See,
right.
I don't get high. I don't
either.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't get drunk. So mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm. I was always in there, like, sober as hell. Like, okay. So when that happened to me, that's why I ran and called my mother. I was like, wait a minute. This ain't something's
right.
wrong here. I said, this ain't. And then she was like, yeah, you saw a good ghost. And I was like, oh.
That's crazy.
It's now, the weirdest. Man, I was creeped out by that shit for a minute. Like,
right,
for real.
Right.
Like, you know what I used to do? When I used to go in the main room and I would have to shut off the lights, I would go, okay, I'm in this motherfucker, man. I ain't fucking with nobody. I'm just here to, I'm going to shut these lights off. Don't. Be popping up on me and no shit. I used to say shit like that.
Oh, you
should
talk to the ghost?
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, if I say the man,
see, I'd probably
that's all I need is they'd be like, you know what, this dude
yeah,
cool as hell.
Like
and then the whole
too.
Team show up, nah, I'm fucking die
yeah,
right
yeah.
there with him. Like, God damn, now nah, I'm a ghost.
Right. Now, so as far as your job description, like, was there a side hustle involved for you to make extra money? Like tipping you or something.
Yeah, tipping on the parking lot. Like,
so, but you. You
here's
have
the thing.
To do stuff like that, right? To make
I
some
didn't
extra
know
cash.
That everybody wasn't getting tipped like me.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning, like, one day I made like $7.50
on tips.
In tips. Yeah, yeah. It was a day where it was so crazy, and I was like, and then when I showed Dean, and Dean was like, "Doc, you know they don't nobody make money like that." So he was like, "You know what? Don't tell nobody."
Yeah, keep it on
he
the
He said,
down,
keep it to yourself.
Because, yeah.
yeah, it was a few times I'll be talking to whoever Quincy ran
yeah,
in them.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
like,
yeah.
man, such and such tip, such and such tip. Then they was naming all the people that don't tip. And I'm sitting over there like, God damn, that person gave me like $150.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well.
So how would you do it? So you would chill in the parking lot, wait for an SUV to roll up with tinted windows or something?
Nah, you'd be parking. You'd just be parking. You don't be waiting. You're just parking, you know? So you like valet.
Oh.
They pull in. And then it's like Jenga. You saw how small that parking mm-hmm. lot was. Towed some cars
yeah.
up. Matter of fact, you know who car fucked up?
Who's?
Michael Richards. It was the week before he had that rant at the Laugh Factory.
Was he? I don't
want
to get too controversial.
Yeah, when he said the N-word.
Yeah,
when he said the N-word on stage.
Controversial,
yeah.
But Was he a cool guy?
Like, yeah, very cool. Tip.
Was he cool to you?
Very cool. That's the crazy part. When he did that, I go, what the fuck? Michael ain't like that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because so, Mike, man, listen. Let me tell you how cool he is.
So this is, we're talking about
You're
Michael
talking about $100-something thousand.
We're talking about Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer. Michael Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I tore his car up. Michael Richards. Good dude, man. I can't.
People don't know this, but Michael Richards was also a comedian, a stand-up comedian. You know, like he does comedy.
Well, yeah. That's what that Rent was. They know from their Rent.
I know from the Laugh Factory. From the Laugh Factory. I've seen it 100 times, Scott. I've seen that video. Yeah. I've even seen, have you seen this? That on Netflix, comedians in cars getting coffee, the Seinfeld series.
Yeah.
The one with Michael Richards, they go to Malibu.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, they go to, they reflect on that night and they talk about what he had learned from that night and how much he regretted doing that, you know? And What do you think that is? Because you said he's not racist. You said he wasn't racist.
Because Mike has walked off stage in the Comedy Store dealing with hecklers.
Yeah, but that's.
No, you don't get it. Like some people, like a couple times, he's been so outraged with the heckler, he said, "Fuck!" and he just walked off stage.
Yeah, but what does that have to do by saying certain words?
Because
certain
what I'm
words.
Trying to get you to understand is he has a sometimes some people get so frustrated that from what I've experienced from seeing him, he walks off stage. Most comics just deal with a heckler, but I've seen him just get mad and walk off. Now I've seen that only maybe once or twice.
Why didn't he do that night at the Laugh Factory?
Because he
then?
Was trying to be funny,
that
and
was
he
not
wasn't.
Funny.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Steve,
I don't think he was trying to be funny, though, is what I'm telling you.
I don't think, I think he was trying.
He was trying to be funny when
he
said that?
Yeah, I think he was trying or he was that frustrated. Either way, that word was like, man, I was like, God damn, man, the dude said
it
that.
It came out.
Yeah, it was like, man.
All right, but hold up. Let me just say something. If he said that, I mean, saying it once is already bad enough if you're not of that race, right?
Right.
That's not an option for me, you know, at all, or anybody outside that race to even mention that word, you know. Mm-hmm. But this guy said it several times to the dude up to the top balcony, whatever the way the seating is, and I'm like, all right. Are you saying he just snapped?
He just snapped.
Well, but what I'm asking you is why he could just snap and say,
because,
he could have said this, he could have said this, he could have been like, fuck you, asshole, asshole.
People,
he could have just said
listen,
asshole
dog.
Without bringing up race. That's all I'm saying.
Listen.
Yeah.
I told you I've been in jail for shooting, right?
No.
When you're in the moment and you don't control yourself, you get dumb and you do dumb things. And
so
that's
you
what
just
that,
said it.
Yeah.
So you're saying he got dumb.
Yeah, he just went dumb. Dumb and went the wrong direction with his anger. And that's what I feel. Now, I don't know what he do with his friends. He might throw that word around all the time. But I'm telling you from my experience, I don't know him like that. But I'm just telling you from the store, right? Like
he was always nice to you.
Yeah, when I tore his car up, that was $100-something thousand bins.
And then he'd tip you every time?
Yep.
Man, so he just had an off night then, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Nobody, who says he's there like that?
No one does.
Yeah, exactly. It's like.
You're right. That's a good point. Because that's
you,
the first
like,
time he's
that
ever
way,
done
you
that,
would
right?
hear, yeah.
I'm just trying to understand the psychology of why someone would even do that. But you're saying when you're in the moment, sometimes you could get dumb and just things
happen.
Yeah,
you can get dumb and you could just release that anger and you sit back. Like, I'll be.
He's trying to think of the anger.
Like, I'm the last guy. Like I say, you know, even though I was a kid and I was a teenager, but the street stuff I did and when I was an adult, right? I can't look at that and be like, the N-word, even though that's wrong, but I'm like, well, you know, I've done worse. You know what I'm
saying?
It's just like one of those things where it's like, as long as you're not racist, dog, that's what matters.
Right.
But if you got angry in a moment and said something you wasn't supposed to say, everybody then either call their mom a bitch or some shit. I haven't.
Right.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mom, you're Latina, right? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. It was just, you know what's crazy? This is another way to look at it. It's like, like you even mentioned, you went to jail. Like one bad decision in your life could just alter. You know, instead of going this way, you do one bad moment could just.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then. Right,
I was listening to, you know the guy Gilly and Wallow? Wallow? Black
no,
dudes who.
No,
okay, well, one of the brothers, or one of them is a cousin. He had there 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then he said when he was locked up, he said it was a guy that was in there doing life or whatever. He said, how long you in here? He said, so how long did it take? And he's like, what? He said, how long did it take? He said, what are you talking about, man? He said, what you here for? He said, Robbie, he said, how long did it take? And then he said, and then he broke it down. And he was like, so that was 1 minute to go in, 1 minute to case the joint, 1 minute to this. And so it all added up to 5 minutes. So he said, you traded 5 minutes of your life for 20 years. And I said, phew. That's one of the greatest lessons. I was like, wow, you need crazy. To spit more knowledge that's like crazy. That. That was like, that's facts, though. You hit a certain point, and you, especially when you grow up around street dudes. You know, like I'll put it to you. You know, this, my father was a murderer too. Like bodies. And what's crazy is a lot of people like think, oh, everybody get caught. I'm like, man, if you knew how many killers I know that ain't never got time. So it's like,
oh, they got away with it?
All the time. Because, you know, it depends on how you murder a lot of times. And you see it on, that's why you see like 24 and 48, where they're trying to find.
I love documentaries. Yeah, I watch all those shows, man.
Unless some clues or something be left. Mm-hmm. It's, man, the police will tell you there's an archive of bodies that they just like, we have no.
You know what videos I love watching is the interrogation videos.
Hilarious.
Because what people don't realize, for the most part, people don't realize, you know, when they read you your rights, like you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used you against you in the court of law, right?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you have the right to not say nothing, yet when they start opening their mouths, man, that's when they're recording you, and that's when you get caught up.
Yeah.
The smart ones, they'll ask for, give me a Coca-Cola or something, or a cigarette, and they won't say shit. Take me back to my cell. Those are the motherfuckers that don't get booked.
Nah, sometimes it depends on, it depends. If you already have your story and your alibi, you just tell them what you need to tell them, and then that's
right.
It. Because that's most cases. Nah, man, I was upset.
Or you have the right to have an attorney.
Yeah, or, hey, man, I just want my lawyer first.
That's what I'm saying. They don't realize that they have, you have a right to an attorney, right? You have a right to an attorney.
But most hood dudes ain't smart enough to understand that. Like, I'll tell you. The last thing that I got arrested for, it's another
bomb dropper right now. Think about what you're about to say.
I'm just saying,
before you say it, just think about it.
I don't care.
Go ahead.
I got in trouble. The last thing I got locked up for was attempt murder, felony firearm, right? So.
Wait, you said that real fast. You said that real fast, man.
But real talk.
This is the way it sounds like. Attempt family firearm.
Yeah.
Say it real clear.
It was attempt murder, felony firearm. Ooh. Assault with the intent to commit murder, felony firearm.
Felony firearm.
Yeah, because I was, man, hot with it. Back then I was like, you know, like I said, the type of dudes I grew up with, that was, and being a little dude on the streets, that's what they taught me. They was like, you ain't gonna be able to beat these dudes like this.
I could picture you with like a big hand cannon, man, like a cowboy,
Let me tell you how many guns I had at the age 13, 14, how many I had.
Can I guess?
Had a 44.
Okay, hold up. Can I write this down? You had a 44 Magnum?
44 long barrel. I had a 44
long barrel?
I had a 44, I had a 22 that was a 44 shell casing. So I had both of those.
So a 22 is the little dinky gun, right?
Yeah, but it was in a 44 shell casing.
So what does that mean?
I don't know.
I know
nothing
about
guns. So it was the 44 gun,
yeah.
But it was filled in to shoot 22 bullets. So the chamber, everything was,
it was
22.
Oh, so it was modified.
Yeah, it was modified. I had that.
Dude, you just scared me.
Yeah, well, also because.
I'm looking at you different now, dog. Because
you know when you do that, right, it silenced the shot a little bit. What y'all want me to tell you? I was a kid.
So you had a 44 long barrel.
I had a Mossberg pump. Or what they call a riot pump.
22 to shoot what?
It was a 44. It shot 22 bullets.
It was a
22 bullets.
Oh, it was a 44 Magnum that shot 22
bullets. Yeah.
That's what you meant.
It was modified to, yeah.
You had a 44 long barrel that shot 22 caliber bullets.
Yeah.
But that's one gun, right?
Yeah, that's one gun.
Okay, so that's just one gun.
That's just one.
That sounded like 10 guns.
No. I had a 44 also. So I had both.
Wait, separate?
Yeah, separate.
A normal 44.
So I had a normal long barrel 44 that was nickel plated.
Okay,
And then that one was actually, the 22 was black.
Oh, man, Doc.
Then I had a 357 snub nose.
Man, I'm still writing this.
Yeah, write it all down. Like, write down my arsenal. kids, don't ever get me
don't
stuff.
Yeah, don't
stuff.
Get involved
ever.
With kids. Ever. Don't ever get involved with guns. This is just, we're just storytelling here. We're not promoting
exactly.
you to get any of these firearms. I'm just doing it because I know nothing about weapons or anything. For me, it's just this is just fascinating to me because I've known Doc just as a comedian. I didn't know much of this history. Continue. So we were not promoting guns or any of that.
No. No,
I'm just telling
them. We're just telling them where I came from and how I made it this far.
This is just to tell your story.
Yeah.
The third gun, though, Doc.
So I had a 357 snub nose.
Magnum.
357. No, not the Magnum. I had the snub nose. Magnum is the big barrel one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, easy, bro.
Snub nose.
Well, I guess it still was a Magnum too, though.
But, I don't know much about guns at all. What?
Yeah.
What is
all hollow tips too? I had hollow tips on all of them.
What? Say that again?
I had hollow tips in them.
On all the your guns?
No, just the 357 and the 44.
The 357 was a snub.
Yeah, let me finish, man. Let me just run through this list.
There's three major guns. What's the fourth? I don't want
to. I had a 9mm. I'm trying to tell you. Jeez. I had a Swift & Wesson. I had a Glock 9mm and a 9mm. These are all street guns. I had a 32 automatic. I had a 38 special. I had a 25 automatic. I had a riot pump. That's it, I think. So I had about 7, 8, 9 guns.
Hold up. I'm going back to the 9mm. You said you had a Glock version of that, and then what was the other version?
Yeah, I had the Glock, and then I had the Smith & Wesson.
Smith & Wesson.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the Smith & Wesson and the Glock?
That's just name brand.
Just name brand.
But Glock isn't a name brand. It's a particular
type of style. Yeah.
But, you know, it's the more lighter plastic one. That's where Lil Wayne say, how I shoot if it's plastic?
Right.
You'll see if that boy run up and then, you know, anyway.
Right. A snub nose, is that the type of barrel or the tip of the gun? Like, what is snub nose?
Snub nose is just a shorter barrel.
Damn. How much, as far as street value, would all these, I just saw Taxi Driver. You know that scene where Travis Bickle gets all the guns and he meets a guy in the hotel room?
Yeah.
I know that's a movie, but like.
Well, that's how it was for the big drug guys or the guys in my gang. They meet up with guys that
like
have the arsenal.
In Taxi Driver, that guy, the gunslinger.
I ain't never seen that.
Okay, but I'll just describe to you the scene. Okay, they bring up Robert De Niro into a hotel room. This one guy with the briefcase comes out, and he displays his whole arsenal.
Like every movie.
This
guy, he makes it like a special.
Yeah,
like every movie.
like every movie you've seen, any gangster movie.
Right.
So is that how it is in real life?
Yeah, that's how it is. You just pick and you... But actually, a lot of times it's just... Oh, we got these Glocks in. How many you want? Give us about 10, 20 or more. 40.
How much is it?
It depends on who you're buying them from and whether you're dealing with
the
and how
44 nickel plated one.
Man, back then, I never bought any of these guns. They were given to me. I never bought a gun on the streets.
These were all given to you?
Given to me. Yep.
For free?
Free.
What about the bullets and everything?
Free.
Everything's
I
free.
I never had to buy bullets. They had arsenals of bullets, and they always had like, hey, man, you got to have at least two when you're out here.
I'm going to make an announcement to these people. So there you go. See, now you know. People think Doc's a nice guy.
He was
working the door at the Comedy Store. He paid major dues. Right. I'm telling you right now, I'm putting this out in the universe. Give this man more stage time. You don't want to mess with this guy. He's a good guy. You know his history. Now hold up. This is my podcast. I can say whatever I want. You know his history. You know he's walking the straight and narrow now. Give him the quality stage time that's needed right now for his growth.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
Let's talk about your comedy, man. This is fascinating to me. Again, we're not already. Really? We're done in the last 10 minutes. Now, let's start. I want to plug the positive things. Like, we're getting past all this whole, your whole arsenal here. we're gonna take it. We're going to take it positive
to your
comedy, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know, your interaction, you connecting with your crowd. And so where are you at with that, your comedy?
Right now, I'm still in the same position as far as just still trying to get myself out there. Because that's the hardest part. Like, people don't truly understand entertainment and how it works.
It's a tough racket.
Yeah.
People, because I started doing mics again. And
look how many people they give specials, and they still don't get the the fan base. You know what I mean?
It's, oh, you're talking about like they'll throw it like a Netflix or
– yeah, a bunch of those people that has got like 3-4 specials can't even sell out clubs nightly, consistently.
See, that I don't understand that at all.
Because it has nothing to do with – like people think it's about people giving you a chance. It has nothing to do with that.
What is it? Go ahead, break it
down. My mother said to me, time. That's it. It's just time. When your time comes, it'll happen. And until then, you just keep doing it. And then if it don't happen, well, you'll be dead without making it.
No, that's real shit. I think your time has come, though.
Well, we see. God willing, I'm ready.
I want to, because I'm looking at it from outside you.
I'm in a weird space, though.
You're in a good space.
At the same time where stuff is happening, I'm like, it's weird as a performer. You'd be like, I don't feel like going out and. And you I know, think it might be a little bit of age,
all,
you know what I'm saying?
All
see,
these
the crow's
artists
thing.
Are like that. All these artists are like that. You have your off nights, you get unmotivated. Sometimes you want to hit the mic, sometimes you don't. But my main thing is I'm so grateful that Bad Friends accepted you as part of their family. Do you know how big of a platform that is? I don't think you realize how big of a platform that is and how much shine
this
that's
given
that
they, you. Here's something that they don't know and you don't know that I'll tell you. Do you know how many people from Jeff Garland, Martin Lawrence's manager, tour manager, Mike Hubbard, his boys, Larry Wack, Kenny Wack, man, tons of, like I have so many people. Matter of fact, look at this. I think I still might even have his number.
What time frame?
This is all now, in between now.
Right now.
They all still, like I was supposed to, right before COVID, I was supposed to open the Lit Tour, not be on it, but to open it, meaning open up and bring up Martin. It wasn't that much money, but they were like, hey, man, I want you to come do this.
So I was MC'd as an MC,
when the coronavirus happened, they had to cancel all the shows.
But to MC?
No. Martin Lawrence is the MC.
Well, you're the host then.
No, I'm the warm-up guy for Martin Lawrence.
So how much time were you supposed to do?
I think I'll do like 10, 15 up front or 20.
Then you bring up Martin
then
Lawrence?
Then I bring up Martin Lawrence. Yeah, I think that's how it was. So... But COVID happened, and I couldn't do it. So even like right before that, but a few years ago, I mean a while ago, just to show you some of the names, I think I still got his name in my phone. Look at this. Yep. You see that? What'd that say?
Can I say it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say
because I was playing with her.
Okay. It says James White, screenwriter for Ray.
Right. So he's the one that wrote the screenwriter for Ray. He was working on 2 to 3 projects with me. I just never told nobody.
That's the one with Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah. So he dies of cancer right in the middle when he was about to give me
a shot.
Yeah. So we were going back and forth, talking on the phone. We were setting up a meeting. We had a meeting set up, but he didn't tell nobody he had cancer.
He kept it a secret?
Yeah. I guess maybe his wife knew or whatever. But everybody else, he was just doing and just kept going. And he was like, man, I'm trying to get this going. And so he was trying to like push the projects as fast as he could. So it was like a month. Like that, like a July, we were supposed to have a conference meeting with me and his ex and all of this. And then I didn't hear from him. And I was like, man, what happened? And then like the next month, I was like, man, I didn't hear from him. I said, man, what happened? Then the next thing you know, in the LA Times, boom.
Damn.
James White dies. I'm like, what?
I think
it's kidding?
I know where you're getting at.
Yeah, it's just like it's constantly like, there. Like yeah, people don't understand. Like it's a bunch of people be like, man, you got this gift. And I'm
But check this out. It could go the other way too, though. It's like being out in like a surfer was waiting for waves, right? Sometimes there's no waves for a long time.
Right.
But then if you're out there long enough, hey, what's that? Oh, I see one coming. I see a swell coming. And that could be you. And I think with Bad Friends, I mean, that's a lot of exposure they're giving you, man. It's so crazy, man.
Like, so, I didn't think that it was like that because I've done podcasts. So, I mean, you know, Joey Medeas, I've done Ari Shaffir, I've done all of these.
But with you, you bring a magical element that I don't think you understand to that specific thing,
man.
I've been doing this long.
Bobby and them don't understand it. That's what's crazy to me sometimes.
He clowns.
But here's the thing.
I respect you. We both respect you.
Right.
I have the more of the authentic respect. for you.
No, 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 he does. He have, no, no, Bobby, man, listen.
Yeah.
Bobby plays in front of everybody. But when me and Bobby talks naturally, he'd be him. But the problem is with Bobby is that Bobby's never seen that, like, real raw side of me. The, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
stuff
like
that I wrote down.
Yeah, so it's shocking for Bobby to hear the things that he hear about me. He like, what? Like when we was in we did Brea, and then Rick Ingram was like, yeah, Doc, I remember that time you punched that dude in the face, and Bobby's like looking like, what? like it's like, but they don't
used
know.
To do that stuff.
Yeah, I had to fight at the store. You know what I'm saying? Little dude out there getting it in.
But that's the thing. He's little.
You think you can beat? You think you tough, huh? Had a few mimosas and think you got it.
don't mess with
the mic. I'm sorry.
Do not mess with that. Is his mic still on? Okay.
Yeah, it's still on. All right.
So now I want to really start promoting what you got going on right now. Like if you have your Instagram first or a website. What's your Instagram, Doc?
Doc Willis Comedy. Straight just like that.
Doc Willis Comedy. That's it.
That's it.
You got any upcoming shows?
Man, I had COVID for the past month. Mm-hmm. So I finally started getting over it. As you hear, I ain't coughing as much no more. Mm-hmm. So now I'm about to get back out there because I was actually supposed to, Bobby hit me up, and I think he might have wanted me to do Irvine because what did he do, Irvine not too long ago?
I think so.
Yeah, he was like, hey, and I couldn't. I was like, man, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on something. I'm trying to just let it naturally see where it takes me.
You ain't doing open mics anymore?
I just started getting back on stage yesterday.
What mics are you hitting up?
Fourth Wall was the first one I did.
Fourth Wall?
Yeah.
Where is that located? Is that like
they got one in they got one on in North Hollywood over there by where I stay in Studio Fourth City Wall, and all that. Then there's one on Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
So there, then I do the Hollywood comedy sometimes over there on Melrose. Mm-hmm. Trap Mike with Dante and Fu used to host. Rest in peace, mm-hmm. Fu. Love you, bro. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dante Chang?
Yeah, Dante Chang.
Oh, he's been on here too.
Yeah.
That's a homie. Shout out to Dante.
Yeah,
oh, rest in peace, though. Rest in peace, Fu.
Fu.
Yeah.
It's my dog, Fu, man.
I didn't even ask you about like your thoughts on what went down during that. I mean, that was a crazy thing to happen.
Yeah, I mean, just one of them things, man.
Don't mess with
this. That's the randomness of Hollywood. You just like, what the fuck just happened?
The fentanyl.
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 Cocaine,
yeah.
Yeah, partying, you know. That's why I never.
So kids, don't do drugs. Stay away from drugs and alcohol. Do the right thing. Walk the straight and narrow. And again, I can't emphasize this more enough. Don't the gun talk. Don't get the guns. Don't get involved with
guns.
Nah,
ain't nothing cool. Nothing
don't
about that,
don't get involved
man.
With the
don't
street
you ever
stuff.
Don't think that's cool. Like, nobody like being a street dude.
Take some
like,
art classes.
It's the worst.
Read books. Do some UFO research.
Hey, yeah, I'm into the UFOs if you want to,
Or start skateboarding or whatever you do, you know, take up a hobby or sport if you want to start doing
whatever's
what Doc's
productive
doing, hit
and
up
whatever's
the mics, okay?
peaceful.
What about, so you don't know, you're just doing mics now, no future shows yet?
Not yet. Now, I'm just now starting back audition. I just told all my agents.
They're coming.
I told them, hey.
If you're a entertainment person, a casting agent, whatever.
I got agents.
Okay,
I got agents.
This,
do not hit me up.
No, I'm just saying.
I have agents.
If they happen to watch this, really consider hiring my buddy, Doc Willis, for the part, okay?
That's what I'm talking about.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't have no website to promote?
Merch
or nothing?
No, I keep it
simple.
Oh,
what about
man.
Bad Friends? When you on? Are you permanently on Bad Friends?
We We supposed to do one for tomorrow, but they, you know how Santino's schedule is. So they may
isn't
not.
He on
they
tour? Hit me up. Isn't Santino on tour?
He's supposed to be, but that's why I think. But they, it's, man, you know, he's so busy now. Like he's like,
he's selling out arenas now.
Yeah, I don't know about
auditoriums.
Yeah, he's selling out stadiums.
Or amphitheaters. I mean, sorry, they're doing amphitheaters.
Yeah, he's doing theaters. Mm-hmm. Well, shoot, we sold out when we did San Diego 1400.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, he sold out. What I mean,
oh,
we.
Yeah.
I
killing
was just there tagging along, like, hey, thanks,
Tino.
Doc,
let me
your
tell you
friend.
Something, Doc.
What up?
You're going to catch them all.
Hey, man, God willing. Thank you, bro. I like
they
your energy,
may,
dog.
They may
you
be on top of the mountain now, but guess what? Guess who's going to be climbing up there, dude, on the back end?
Yeah, yeah.
Doc Willis. Look out for my main man, Doc Willis. He's going to have a special
just
out.
Follow him.
He's going to – let me just do this thing. He's going to have a special out in the near future, either on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon Prime. Look out for it. Purchase it. Download it. Tell a friend. Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. If you want to support the platform, go to patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe. Check out Scissor Bros, youtube.com/Scissor Bros. Episodes drop every Friday. StevieWiebeBandcamp.com. I have stuff on Spotify if you type in Q-U-A-N-G-O-U. I have a P.O. box if you want to send any packages or fan mail. Send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee at Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. I think that's about it, man. I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
You know, I've always been a supporter of you.
Yeah,
I wish
man.
You nothing but
yeah,
the best.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think this is your year.
Well, I told Bobby,
I'm
and
saying
I said,
this right now. This is Doc's year.
Yeah.
Watch out for Doc.
Yeah, to come.
Or he's going to be coming after you with all the artillery. My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crip. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground. Today, don't give it away, the peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed, live this way, can deal with shade. His spade is a spade, he made the gray, displayed in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.